Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Right, okay, so let's hope that whatever bean I flicked has made a bit of a difference.
Professional bean flicker.
Professional bean flicker.
Yeah.
I've got to be good at something.
It's certainly at football.
And it's not that either. Right, so I think the feedback's gone now, hasn't it? I was just trying to chat shit and just to see whether it was going to feedback on us.
Yeah.
I think we're okay, so what we'll do is we'll start now then. And up to look for them.
Happy days.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Sunday League Pundit Show. And we're going to have a bit of a chat again and see if anything interesting comes up. So I reckon we should start at the week's events. Because Spurs in particular have played twice since we last met. The first of which was the most boring game I've ever seen in my life. It was totally uneventful. And yeah. Absolutely nothing happened. It was 5 disallowed goals and 5 goals and 2 reds and however many yellows were given out. And I'm like, I had to go to sleep because I've got work really early the next day. I've got to get up the same night for work, so I've got to sleep. And Zach, my son, had messaged me saying, oh, we won up and all was going well. And I'm like, I'll go to sleep and woke up in the morning, check FOTMOV. What the hell went on there then? Was not expecting what I saw.
I didn't watch the game. It was a badminton, so Monday night I played badminton, so I missed Monday night games anyway. And I watched the highlights though, and from what I saw, it was a good game. I just didn't even see all the clips because there were things that I heard that happened that weren't in the show. They couldn't actually show all the disallowed goals because I don't think the highlights could go on that long.
That's how basically
much
the whole game,
isn't it? Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of a highlight show. It's like, for example, you'll hear, what an amazing save! And then you go on the highlight show and they don't even show you that save or they don't show you that. And it's just, so when
I
that's
think a lot
game,
of that, though, is I think keepers are quite undervalued by a lot of people.
Possibly. But it's just, I'm just referring to like how highlight reels work.
Yeah.
And then to have a game with just so many highlights, it was just sort of like, well, what do we show? What do we cut out? What do we get rid of? What
it was
do we hold
insane,
on to?
Wasn't it?
Yeah, mental.
It was insane.
Mental.
I've never known a game where so much has happened. And I've watched Arsenal beat Reading 7-4 in a cup game. But that had extra time, penalties and everything.
Yeah.
This, it was just 90 minutes. And like Romero was looking to be sent off after about 10 minutes from what I can see on the highlights. And the highlights that it did show, Jesus, that guy was insane. And Udogie, I don't know what he was thinking.
I'd say Udogie probably, it was like the Havertz really, wasn't it? The fact that he didn't touch him was the only reason it was
he already got a yellow. Why
no,
did you...
That first
you
one,
got the first one?
The first one,
oh, the
yeah.
First one, yeah.
The second one was... You know, we
dive
in.
When you're already on a yellow, why would you do that? I don't understand it.
Some players do.
It's just insane, isn't it? It's insane.
Commitment to the cause.
but yeah, I mean, obviously Spurs losing 4-1 has
I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. They're going to be wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm disappointed they got beat 4-1, but what a mental game.
Yeah.
Mental game. I'm not about the biggest fan of Chelsea, I'm not going to lie. And then they played again yesterday. And lost again. But then when you lose... I mean, Van der Ven, who I think... Is it Van der Ven or Van...
I think it's Van der Ven.
What's his fucking name? Van der Ven. Yeah.
Mickey anyway, V.
Yeah, when you got Mickey V, and he is genuinely has become one of the best defenders over the last couple of games, played really well, and that did not look good when he went down. That he looked like he was... You know, a lot of footballers go down, they roll,
and
it's like... Oh,
and then they're 2 minutes later, as if
I'm
they're...
I'm just acting, and everyone knows. But no, what it looked yeah, it did bad. And I'm like, he could be out for a little while, and then the other one goes down. Then Romero goes off. So they've got Madison, wasn't it? They've got taken
Madison
off injured. So Madison's time, yeah. injured. Mickey V's injured. And they've got Romero on a ban. You've got Udogie on a ban, albeit he's his only one. Romero's his three for a straight red because, you know, one is full on assault somebody if you're going to go for it.
So, yeah.
You know, the job's worth doing. So they were always going to struggle because they're missing. Like, Madison's been superb this season.
Yeah, he
has. He's been amazing. So just for him to be out is a big
And
loss.
I believe he's out till New Year now.
That's not
for reports saying.
That's a loss. That's a massive loss.
Huge. Huge.
And I mean, we only spoke about Tottenham in one of the episodes and their running and the teams that they played.
Yeah, yeah.
And said eventually they're going to have their downfall and it looks like it started very quickly.
Although a lot of it was self-inflicted.
Yeah.
Like the Romero and the Odogie thing.
Yeah, one of the other problems you've got, though, is like when you're pushing for a title and stuff, you don't need a team, you need a squad, because injuries like this will now affect them, and it's going to affect them exponentially. They're not going to be able to field the same kind of level of team. It's like Man City. I mean, they're playing right now and they're 3-2 up. And let's put it this way, Haaland goes off injured. Oh no, the best striker in the world's just gone off injured.
Alvarez.
But we're just going to put Alvarez on instead. Yeah.
He's quality, isn't he?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like, if you're going to win a title, that's the kind of team you need. You need to replace... It's like one of the Plymouth... We'll go back to Leeds in a bit, but one of the managers was on about, I'm sure it was a Plymouth manager, and he said, oh, the problem you've got is to take a £35 million player off and put a £20 million player on. Well, yeah, that's how you progress. You know what I mean? If you're going to maintain big challenges... For the tier, like in that case, the championship, but the top tier title or the top level, you need a squad, not a team.
Of course, you do. Yeah.
Teams will only get you so far.
Of course, you do. And that's why the teams with the biggest squads tend to do better because you can rely on.
Tottenham haven't got a squad; they've got a team.
Hmm. Well, now you've gone into that, and I think where you say the squad that fills in perfectly to the game that I watched on last night. Which was Newcastle Bournemouth.
Mm.
Did you watch it?
I did.
So Tin hasn't watched it, but you've watched it. How good were Bournemouth really, or would you say how bad were Newcastle?
I would say Bournemouth were decent. I would go so far as to say they were decent. Mm. Newcastle were just a shadow.
They got battered for 90 minutes.
But haven't they got like 11 injuries or something?
Yeah,
like 9 or 11.
I mean, Trippier went over to the fans. I saw that game, and I mean,
one of the fans was going having a go, and Trippier's like, "How many injured players have we got? Like, how many have we got injured?" And this guy then starts walking over. You see, this guy's obviously just disappeared and walked off. And Trippier's going, "Answer me, then."
Yeah. Newcastle had a squad last year of very good players, a small squad, so and that got them in the Champions League this season. Now, the Champions League is really making them suffer now.
It is, but they've still got a decent squad. The problem is 11 injuries will wipe out anybody.
But they're still in the League Cup, aren't they, as well?
They're still in the League Cup.
What you've got to think is that they've got so last season, they got to the League Cup final. Very unlucky.
Hmm?
And they made Champions League. All this with Eddie Howe without any expectation. No one was expecting Eddie Howe to get them there. No one was expecting them to... I mean... Just before he took over, they were struggling. They were really down there struggling. And since he's took over, they've been a revelation. But they've got a team that got them into Champions League and a final. Now, people are expecting them to maintain Champions League position and then compete for two cups, FA Cup, League Cup. They're expected to compete now due to the money that's in.
I would agree.
And they're expected to at least qualify from the group stage of the Champions League. Mm. These are now expectations. Last season, the expectation was don't get fucking relegated.
But this is the thing, though, isn't it? This is where fans need a reality check.
Yes.
Because you can't, like, all the money in the world, right? So I could win the lottery tomorrow.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm going to move into a mansion the day after.
No.
Because life doesn't work that way. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. Things take time. Do you know what I mean? And they do. Like when you go and buy a brand new car, you don't just go in and go, oh, I'll have a brand new car. And they go, there you go. They go, well, it'd be ready in such and such.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to go and build it.
Yeah. We've still got to wait to be fair, going on that, you've also got to remember, Eddie Howe's really shrewd in the transfer market. So rather than going out and buying 20 players at ridiculous prices, he's only bought players that fit his system, what he wants, at prices that he's willing to pay.
Decent players, though.
And they're good players. No, I'm not saying they're not.
Good players.
What I mean, though, is like, he's not going out like Chelsea and buying the first player that tickles everybody's taste buds and then spending ridiculous amounts of money to get them.
Yeah, because Chelsea are going out seeing that, for example,
Mudrick.
Arsenal were buying Mudrick for this, and then Chelsea come in and go, we'll give you £40 million more.
It's just insanity, isn't it?
Absolute insanity.
I don't understand why that would be your model. I don't understand why you would want that to be your model.
No, but that's the point that's been made, isn't it? We're on about squads.
Mm.
Chelsea, you look at their squad on paper, I mean, they are actually now starting to come good. It's took a little while, but...
Was it 3-2 still?
Yeah, it's still 3-2. Yeah, but that's against Man City.
But...
you've got a world-class squad.
If Chelsea... Yeah,
and they're actually 3-2, which is a damn sight closer than most teams in the Premier League.
The thing is with if Chelsea get into Europe next season, they've got the capability of playing two squads, which City can do as well. City can play their second team, and their second team could probably win the Premier League.
That's the
difference.
Just to go on that, the last team to score two goals against Man City were Wolves when they beat them. Prior to that, still going, was Atletico Madrid in July.
That's a crazy start, isn't it? That's insane.
So, you saying, oh yeah, but they're losing now. The last team to actively... In fact, I'm going to put this one out there as well. The Atletico game was a friendly.
I was going to say, in July.
Right, yeah. Competitively, the last team to score two goals against Man City that wasn't Wolves... I'm still going. We're still going. Hold on. I'm in February.
For the YouTube viewers, he's currently scrolling through his phone. I assume on
Tottenham in January.
January just gone?
Yeah.
So nearly...
19th of January is the last time Man City conceded more than one goal in a game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Competitively.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I suppose the thing is, when they lose a game, we end up losing 1-0, don't we? They just go for
it. 1-0, but to be fair, they don't lose many games. They've lost the friendly against Atletico Madrid 2-1.
I don't know who
Yokohama FM are, but they scored 3 in a 5-3 club friendly. I dare say, if I look at their team, you probably won't... doesn't even give you their team.
That goes to show, I mean, they've got a squad.
Newcastle
haven't got...
They didn't bring on their actual team till the second half. I'm just looking at the...
So what results have we got from yesterday then, Tim?
So, yesterday, I'm just going to say one thing, and I kind of touched on it earlier, and there was one that I overlooked. But if you were to put like an acca on, yesterday really didn't bring many surprises. It literally didn't. well, okay, again, Tottenham, bit of a surprise, injury woes. Newcastle, injury woes, surprise.
I really don't think the Tottenham one was a surprise, because if you looked at the players they've lost,
yeah,
I honestly, I didn't have them in my ACCA. I had them to lose.
Oh, wow. So you had Arsenal, Burnley, that went according to plan.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace, Everton.
I don't know.
I actually had Palace
down. Really? Palace have been garbage.
They've not been great, but, but Everton are shocking. Yeah,
they are, but they've actually, what is it, 3 on a bounce now?
It is 3 on a bounce.
So, yeah. So you've got to think Everton have started to find a bit of themselves. So I actually backed Everton. And then United, Luton. Although I joked that Luton would win.
That.
It was.
I had it down as a 1-1.
Really?
I genuinely had it down.
I think I knew secretly down inside that Man United would win, despite the fact that, you know, they sucked in the week and one of the lads at work, mate, when they were 2-0 up, one of the lads at work who's a Man United fan was going, yeah, 2-0 and my exact wording was, as long as you've got Onana in goals, mate, I have faith that you will lose. It was beautiful.
I mean, Rashford shouldn't have been sent off, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's another one I just want to bring up. People doing the whole, oh, why is this, why is that, everyone hates United. It's like, get off.
It's lots of clubs that are going through that.
Loads of clubs get that. Loads. And
I could go through a few like examples of where teams have been screwed over by VAR this season.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. There's plenty to go on.
Oh yeah. VAR has actually been worse this season than last year.
I think it's worse than it's ever been.
Yeah, it's gone backwards. Definitely gone backwards.
It's horrific. And the people that are making these decisions, I honestly don't know who they've got doing it, but we're not sponsored by Specsavers.
Well, I heard Martin Keown talking about the Newcastle goal against Arsenal, saying it was a foul. All day long it was a foul on the back. I've spoken to ex-referees. They said it was a foul. I think they were going for some of them, Clattenburg and Mike Riley and former refs, and they're saying it was a foul all day long. He pushed him in the back. He had two hands on him. Was he stooping? They wasn't stooping. He was being pushed in the back.
There was one given yesterday where somebody headed the ball across and it was put in, and it was less than what he'd given Gabriel.
Yeah.
And it was given as a foul. And it was less than what they'd given Gabriel. And it still was given as a foul. So in that sort of instance, it should have been, for me personally, 50-50.
Yeah.
It was given, I'd accept.
Some days it's given, some days it's not
given is accepted. What annoyed me more about that goal was Flappy Bird. Because I can't get my head round how a manager like Arteta, that basically took a seriously struggling Arsenal team and has made them title challengers last season. Albeit we fell off when Saliba got injured. And I do believe he was a massive thing, because I don't think Gabriel's that good a defender. I think Saliba makes him look better than he is. How can you go from having a title challenge to then going, oh no, I'm going to spend £65 million on Havertz, because he's been a great signing for Chelsea, and we're going to get Raya. Initially, I thought, Raya's a decent backup. No, he didn't want him as a backup. What's Ramsdale done? What's happened to Ramsdale? Like, I'm absolutely screaming for Ramsdale to get back in there.
I'm wondering if something's happened behind doors.
Matt, honestly, Arteta does not like Ramsdale anymore. Simple. Because it's not footballing reasons. Nobody could tell me, look me in the eyes, and convince me at all that that's footballing reasons as to why Ramsdale's been dropped and Raya is in there.
Can't be.
Because there's no way Flappy Bird is seen anywhere on the planet as being better than Ramsdale.
You know what, though? We'll say this. From a personal perspective throughout playing, when I end up in Sunday League, I went to two different clubs, and in both clubs I had the same issue where, for some reason, the manager didn't want me in goals, he wanted someone else. The only difference I've had is every time I've had this situation,
I think I was there at that game,
every single time I've had this situation, I've ended up playing 90% of the season, despite the fact that every season they would bring a new goalkeeper in to replace me, and every season I'd still play. But I've had it my entire career.
Is that when you were at Green Lane?
That was one of them. But that team that I played for, every season he would bring in a new goalkeeper to replace me, and every season I would play instead of him. Now, I don't get it, but you just get it sometimes where whatever reason...
I think I actually shook his hand, didn't I, that day?
Oh, mate, you scored a goal, went up to him, and then thanked him for not putting me in goals?
I think it was my third, to be fair, then.
It was hilarious.
Mm. I think it was my hat-trick, and then I ran up to his manager, and I shook his hand and went, cheers, I wouldn't have that if Tim was in there, and ran off.
But the fact, but even when I played the same team as you, every year, Sean would try and put someone else in goals.
Marino was the one, wasn't he? Then Matt Richardson.
Then Dicko.
Dicko, yeah.
See, every season he'd bring in a new goalkeeper to replace me, and yet they never did. But there was always this agenda to replace me. Probably because I'm a prick. That's not a problem.
I think the... I don't know about the prick thing, but I think the mouthy and argumentative
shithousery. Let's be honest, my shithousery is great.
But we are going to get onto Sunday League because it is called the Sunday League Pundit Show. So the plan was to talk about the weekend for the first bit, take a break, and then we're going to go on to some of our Sunday League experiences.
Okay, so
because that's what.
Then I will shut up on that for the moment.
So I read an article this week. By going this, and it's probably going to more wine stretch up as I'm reading this out now. So, Mikel Arteta giving the voice of the frustrations to many. Arsenal are not at their best right now.
Quick one, guys. 3-3.
Kyle Havertz is not in great form despite impressing plenty of Arsenal fans with his display at St James's Park.
That's what we're looking at. Just for the YouTube.
Arteta will know that his side have not been at their best in recent weeks, particularly in the final third. So, obviously, that article says that Kyle Havertz impressed at St James's Park.
Yeah, he impressed the Newcastle fans. Like, I wish there was a way of just contacting Arteta and just asking him, what are you seeing that the entire planet is not seeing? Like, what part of Havertz's game is better than Smith Rowe, for example? Because for me, when before Smith Rowe's injury, when he was playing regularly, for me, he was one of the best in the Premier League. He was absolutely superb. His control is fantastic. His first touch is outstanding. He can shoot. He can pass. He's got that. Don't get me wrong. Different levels, but he's got that part of the ability that Bergkamp had. He can. Find passes that others can't. I'm not saying he's Bergkamp by any stretch of the imagination, but he's got an ability to find a pass that others won't. He doesn't do quite what Bergkamp did, but for me, he's better than Havertz, and a long way better than Havertz as well. And now we're on about selling him. I honestly, it's going to be another Gnabry and Szczesny. We put up with all Szczesny's mistakes. And then we sold him to Juventus and he became one of the best on the planet.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I never understood why you didn't like Szczesny. I rated him.
Because he made mistake after mistake after mistake. But, in my defence, in his last two seasons, I did actually turn around and go, do you know what? He's improved a lot. Yeah. I didn't like him for the past couple of seasons. He made so many errors. But, his last 2 years, I remember turning to you going, do you know what? He's actually turning into a decent keeper. Then we sold him. I'm like, I've just started liking the guy. What are you doing? But normally, if I don't like, he'll tell you with Adebayor, right? It goes back that far. If I don't like an Arsenal player, I don't like him, and that's it. I didn't like, and everybody online's, oh, but Adebayor's our best scorer, and Adebayor's this, Adebayor's that. How many other people play striker for Arsenal? How many? Adebayor. Yeah. Who's going to get the fucking goals? He's the only one there to score them. Don't tell me he's good. He's the only one that you can put the fuck on. It still winds me up now. I hate him.
Really?
You know, honestly, I can't.
So what do you think? When I'm starting my list of players for like all-time 11, honestly, I have to put Adebayo in there just to wind you.
Starting with Xhaka and Adebayo, I nearly tore the shed down. I'm honest.
It was funny.
I mean, I started watching the Seville game the other day, and, you know, Saka was playing, and Havertz was playing, and Trossard was playing, and I really love Trossard's movements in that game. He worked so hard off the ball in that game before he got his goal, which Saka's set him up for, which was a nice setup. It was beautiful play and stuff like that. And what I noticed, I was watching him off the ball, and he was doing all these moves, and he wanted to be involved, and him and Saka were linking up so well. Havertz, he's calling for balls, but he's not moving. He's he's static. Mm. He looks very static. And
what I complained about on a Friday. People call for it, they just stand there.
I was actually referring to, I told Josh today about that incident with the, what do you do when you're the last man? You pass the ball backwards one, you make a move, but you don't, you just stand there looking at them. Just, yeah.
Havertz for me, I don't understand the signing. I understand why he's playing, because you don't want to look stupid for spending 65 million on a snowman, but I don't understand the signing. Like, we could have, right, albeit we'd have to wait, and I get that, but I reckon at the start of the season, you've got what, another 7 months out, you could have gone to Brentford and gone, I'll give you that 65 million for Tony.
Yeah.
Stuck him in your training ground on his own. Waited till January. That would have been 65 million for me. Well spent.
Aren't they already on about like his transfer fee for January is going to be like 120 million or something?
It would have
been quite low, actually. Yeah.
I'm sure I read something absolutely ludicrous.
I would love Arsenal to buy Ivan Toney.
Mate, he's unreal.
Because I reckon that would put us up. But right now, right, if I stuck you in the Arsenal hot seat, who would your front three be? Without injuries, there's no injuries in the squad. Who would your front three be?
Saka would be on the right.
Yeah.
On the left, Martinelli.
Yeah, and up front.
And up front would be Trossard at the moment.
That's exactly what my front three would be as well. Jesus and Getty wouldn't have a chance. For me.
But Trossard isn't.
Trossard. Yeah, but we don't need a number nine. City won the league in two cups with a bloody false nine.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Though Martinelli... Yeah, he was a bit whingy. He's getting a bit whingy when things aren't going his way. He's a very wild player.
That. I like that because it. I like it because it means he fucking hates losing.
Yeah, but there's a difference between hating losing and throwing a hissy fit and doing nothing, Bruno Fernandes, and someone who has passion and then puts more effort into winning. There's a difference.
See, but then you've got Martinelli challenging on the edge of his own box. And then running all the way back up to try and get a cross in or to try and be on the end of a cross. His work rate is just outstanding. That's why I like him. Because I would take 11 Martinellis over a Bruno Fernandes.
I wouldn't want
for the
Bruno,
work rate.
I wouldn't want Bruno Fernandes anywhere near a team.
For the work rate. Because his work rate is just... That's why I would play Trossard.
Yeah.
Because he just doesn't
stop. I like Trossard. I've rated him for a very long time.
I was thrilled when we signed him. I'm gutted that he doesn't get enough minutes. For me, personally, yeah. I don't think he gets enough minutes.
I wouldn't play him as a false nine, though. Just because...
Oh, because every time he's done it, he's scored.
Yeah.
Every single time he started in that role, scored.
Okay.
You can't tell me the same back in Ketia, and he's a striker.
Yeah.
So we've got another bit of it in the news as well at the moment, where there's going to be a vote in the next couple of weeks. I can't remember what the date was. And they're voting against. It's the internal loans that's happening. So basically, it's to stop Newcastle raiding the Saudi league this winter.
But nobody did it with City, did they?
Yeah, but again, this is the whole thing, isn't it? That City have sort of done these things, and now everyone's going, oh... So, it's only because of City.
I don't really care.
I personally, on the lines, let it be, because I think that, although Newcastle, yeah, they may have an advantage, yeah, they can bring in the summer, they've lost some players to injury, yeah, they can bring in N'Golo Kante, and they can...
How much has that cost them, though? To take him over to Saudi and pay his wages? Yeah. If you want to be stupid and spend billions of pounds, fair play to you.
But I hope that the clubs that... could benefit from that system do, because like Forest, they're linked with Olympiacos. There's no harm.
I know there's quite a lot of like there. Links. I know Man City have got, because it's like the
Girona.
But they've also got is it New York?
New York.
You know, at the end of the day, one thing I will say, and this is my pro for it. Yeah, let the big clubs do that. But the fact of the matter is, look at America and then look at football. Even when Beckham took over Galaxy. Played at Galaxy and then made his into Miami. It's like everyone's banging on about Messi. I actually looked at a stat. He's done absolutely nothing over there. The team's gone nowhere. The only thing that's happened is revenue is generated. That's the only thing. He's actually done sweet fuck all over there.
Have you seen any from winning the League's Cup over there?
Is that what...
Yeah, they won the League's Cup. They went on an unbeaten run. They won the League's Cup.
But aren't they actually lower in the league table now than when
before?
They're
one spot lower.
One spot higher because they were bottom and they finished second to bottom.
Oh, there you go then.
I'm watching into Miami because as it, being from that era, I like the way that Beckham played. I thought he was a great player. And, you know, I like watching him at Real Madrid. I didn't particularly like him at Man United because at the time, Man United, everybody hates Man United, apart from Man United fans. And I think, and even now, they don't like Man United. So then I went on. So he went to Real Madrid, LA Galaxy. He went to AC Milan. So, and these things, and then finished off at Paris Saint-Germain, and watching his documentary, which is a fantastic.
I saw that.
It was absolutely fantastic, and I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't see the first time round. And the scariest thing that I thought is when he was having his retirement game, and it was 10 years ago, and I sat there thinking, oh my God, that was yesterday. Where's this 10 years gone?
But just as I was going back to my original point, though, and I'm going to use a player that played for Leeds as an example. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, you want to talk about that. Who did you see come from the American leagues?
Keepers.
Yeah, and Landon Donovan.
Went to Everton.
Yeah. But other than that, nothing. There was absolutely nothing. Man City bought New York. From that point, we've had Jack Harrison. And how that guy hasn't got an England call-up so far is beyond me. He's probably one of the better natural left-footed players that we have.
You know why he isn't.
Of course. Yeah.
Because he doesn't go around Southgate for a barbecue.
Yeah. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. Grealish, better. We know this. But there are players who are getting in that team who probably aren't anywhere near the standard.
Henderson.
I'm not going to go into it.
Cam Phillips.
But what I'm saying,
he was at the standard. If he'd stayed at Leeds, he'd have been fine. He'd have been in the England squad.
If he'd have gone to anybody else apart from Man City, he'd have been all right.
But my point is, Harrison came from America. He wasn't getting anywhere in England. Man United didn't bother with him, so he went to America. He got his graduate. You know, he got his what they call them over there. It's like a diploma sort of thing. Either way, he got into the New York.
It's just graduated.
Then he got his. Man City bought them. Then he got his loan because of the Man City links with, you know, Guardiola and Bielsa. We brought him over. We signed him. He signed for us. We're starting to become more where America has players. There's been multiple players linked with the league. In fact, I think there's been a few other American signings. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. But there's people in America, in the American leagues now, getting scouted by Europe, England, and so forth. So
Pulisic, wasn't he from America?
Yeah, but he was. Was it Dortmund?
Yeah, but didn't they get him from America? Then,
I mean, to be fair, Germany has.
If European football is selecting from America, they're clearly improving.
So it's obviously improving, but you're only going to get this by investment. So now with the Saudi League is getting better because the Saudis don't have financial fair play and they're just throwing money at it. But even there, I was listening to a really good interview with. Their head of football on TalkSport, and he was basically saying this won't last. The money spending won't last because
it won't go on forever.
It's not going to, but it's just getting it going. It's like throw money at it to start it and then see where it goes.
China 2.0.
Yeah, but in 4 or 5 years, if the Saudi League does remain competitive, does kick off, does do well, surely there's got to be that moment when people start looking at the Saudi League and go, well, what about this lad? What about this young lad? Because they'll be taking players from clubs at the moment who probably wouldn't normally look at them. But how many times do we hear players that go somewhere, they're not liked by that club, but then another club picks them up and they excel? It's just a case of, I think, personally, investment in all these multiple clubs isn't a bad thing. And if it gives them that tie and that link...
I would agree. And my second point on agreeing would be, look at Chelsea. You can have all the players in the world, it doesn't mean you're going to play good football.
Yeah.
And if you do eventually draw three over City, it's going to take you years.
I don't think having sister clubs and stuff is a bad thing.
I don't think it matters. No. I'm all for them let them get on with it.
Look at pre-seasons as well. Guiseley, every season, have a friendly with Leeds. They're down the road. They're a local team. I think they're practically non-league.
They are non-league, yeah.
And then Leeds will play a friendly at Guiseley. Numbers will turn up because...
Revenue. Arsenal do it with Barnet.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I don't see a problem with multiple ownership or ties. I don't see a problem.
I agree with you.
Especially at ground level, because other than the big, big guns, no one makes money. It is a sinkhole of money.
Let's run through the last few games then of the weekend.
So what, just Premier League or...?
Well, we're going in the Championship.
We're definitely going Leeds and Southampton.
Okay, so we won. Shaky 20 minutes at the end. We sort of just sat on a lull.
I watched a little bit of your game. I didn't manage to catch all of it.
Yeah, so we ran away with it in the first half. Their keeper was decent.
That's the bit I watched, was the first half.
Yeah, we should have been 3 or 4 off.
I heard potentially they should have had a penalty. From listening, I didn't see it. But again, it wasn't on the highlights.
50-50. Some would give it, some wouldn't.
It's very much I've seen it given, I've seen it not given. Yeah. For me...
Whichever way, if the ref gives it, you accept it. And if he doesn't, you just accept it.
It was one of those.
It's one of them, borderline.
The goal at the end was good, but by that point we'd subbed off a few players and we'd...
Chilling
out. We were just seeing the game out, basically. And then he got a little bit squeaky bummy, a little bit, but I think it was a workman's...
You can deal with that, as long as your players are working hard enough, you can deal with it, can't you?
Yeah, it was a workman's game. We went there, we did the job, and yeah, happy days. Just like Leicester at Middlesbrough.
He loves digging at Leicester, doesn't he?
It's only because I've had to listen to that bullshit. Oh, they're going to run away with the league. Oh, they're so fucking good, no one's going to beat them. Okay.
Who's saying that?
Everybody. Do you not listen to any of the tabloids?
No, do a fucking...
Well, there you go. Literally, in all the tabloids, it's just been on about how good Leicester are.
Who listens to that shit?
All it is, ever since they got relegated, was how good Leicester are, how better than everybody else they are, how they're going to run away, how no one's going to touch them, and now they've lost two in a row. Do one.
What about Southampton?
Well, I know that at the end of the game, since the end of September, Southampton have got the most points in the Championship.
I have heard that.
And we're fourth in the league. We're still a point behind Leeds. But we've obviously gained another 3 points on Leicester. Leicester and Ipswich are on the same number of points now, 39 points.
Yeah.
You're on 30...
31.
We're on 30 points now. International break, so it gives a chance for players to
come back from injury as well.
Well, we've got Ross Stewart that we bought for, I think it was 15 million from Sunderland. He was injured when we bought him. He'd been scoring goals for fun last year.
You're looking forward to seeing him?
Yeah, he only played seven good minutes lad. At the game.
He's decent, isn't he? Yeah. That's what I was wondering if I'm excited about it or not.
Yeah, excited about it. And our run isn't too bad. You know, our next game is Huddersfield, a game that we'd expect to win or should win.
Why not?
It's a bit cocky, isn't it?
Nah. We should expect to win them games.
It's like I was saying, two games ago, everyone's banging on about Leicester, right? And they were 14 points ahead, 14 points clear of Leeds. Now it's 8.
Now we've played Leeds and Middlesbrough.
Yeah, their game, that massive gap, that whole unclimbable mountain is getting fucking smaller. It's starting to look a bit like a molehill.
Well, I guess we'll see in the next sort of...
Because Leicester still have to play Southampton, can I add?
No, they beat us.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they beat us. Early on, during that run of...
You don't want to be going, hey, it's Leicester, you want to lose.
No, I don't want Southampton to win either at the moment. But no, I mean, in all fairness...
I don't want Leeds to win, they're the team above us.
Yeah. They've got both, but they've got to play us both again.
Yeah, they do.
Have they actually played Ipswich yet?
Probably not, actually.
I don't think they have. I generally don't think Ipswich have played Leicester.
I'm disappointed that Ipswich got a win, but it was good in midweek because they drew with Rotherham. I mean, obviously playing Rotherham.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
My points are good.
Ouch, they actually demolished you, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. There was no need for that at all,
was there?
Sorry.
Not as bad as Sunderland demolishing.
Do you want your boot back?
Leicester have not played Ipswich yet.
So that's...
Didn't they lose this weekend?
So they play Ipswich on Boxing Day.
No, Ipswich won, they beat Swansea.
Swansea.
They were one down again. They keep going one down.
I was
going to
say, last I heard, they were losing.
So... they literally play Ipswich on Boxing Day and then the 20th of January.
But we...
I think Ipswich will
stay. Us beating West Brom was a good one. West Brom had started to get some wins together.
Yeah, they're starting to look good, they are.
But I think we've got to give another shout-out to the mighty power of Birmingham and Wayne Rooney.
Sunderland, yes!
Still...
even though they're catching us, I don't care. Wayne Rooney, ha!
I love the fact that the Birmingham manager got sacked after winning two games in a row because he wanted to go in a different direction. Five games later, they've got 1 point.
Yeah.
Well.
You know what I absolutely love on top of that? The fact that Job Bellingham scored the first goal.
Yeah.
He's meant to be a really good player, isn't he?
I know he's great, but what I'm saying is they stole
it. When I watched the highlights, it went, and it's been crossed in, and it's been put away by the Birmingham fan, Joe Bellingham. They had to stick in the Birmingham fan.
So the person who started the downfall of Birmingham's game is the ex-Birmingham lad.
Well, they shouldn't have got rid of him, should they?
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
But they've got another Birmingham fan in Madrid, haven't they, at the minute?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, other than that, there was... nothing I would really... I don't know.
Cardiff lost. They were...
Hull absolutely smashed Rotherham, so I hope Rotherham's...
No, Hull beat Huddersfield 1-0.
Yeah, but Rotherham got absolutely smashed by Watford 5-0.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, because we've got Rotherham next, hopefully...
You don't want them to be bouncing back
again. No, I want them to have their aspirations in the gutter.
Millwall got a new manager. They won 4-0 away from home as well. Yeah. So I'm glad we played them not so long ago.
You don't want to play. Look at what happened to us last year. That was the start of our downfall, that was, when Dyche took over Everton.
Yeah.
And Everton beat us 1-0 because we couldn't hit a cow's arse. And we just happened to lose 1-0 because of the new manager bounce, or whatever it is they call it. And that started our downfall.
You didn't get many points last year against Southampton, did you?
There's no need for that.
I can't say.
Do you know what? You screwed us over the year before as well, if you remember rightly. You stopped us getting fourth.
Yeah.
There was a run of, was it you, Brighton, and somebody else we should have beaten? There was three games in particular where we really should have won all three, and we lost all three. One was
City
Southampton, one was Brighton. 4-3 City now.
Yeah. Rodgers.
I mean, I know that Theo Walcott, he says he's gutted that he wished he never played in that game because... although he loved Southampton, he hated scoring against Arsenal.
I like Walcott though, he's quite a genuine little guy.
He definitely loves Arsenal, which is fine because you should love the clubs that you play for. He didn't leave Southampton in a bad way. He come back at the end of his career, which was nice.
Yep. No issues there.
Oh good.
And
right,
just very quickly before we do break, just go over today's games. No surprise in the Aston Villa game, 3-1 against Fulham. I think that's pretty...
I think Villa
are doing great at the moment. Yeah. They're really flying. Brighton-Sheffield United 1-1.
That was a bit of a shock.
I was expecting Brighton to win that.
Oh, I was. Liverpool-Brentford 3-0. No surprise.
No surprise at all.
And West Ham beating Forest again.
That's a little bit of a surprise because West Ham...
Forest have been in a decent sort of... They were really good last time out, weren't they?
Yeah,
so I thought they might have made it a bit more difficult than that.
I think that's more of a...
I thought it was going to be closer.
3-2? It's pretty close.
Yeah. Well, Forest were ahead twice, I believe, as well.
I thought Forest were gonna do bits in that game.
I know that I was listening to Steve Cooper's interview, and he was saying I'd have been gutted if we drew that game. So losing it was even worse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so that's what he thought about the Forest performance.
Well, so I think what we're going to do is we're going to stick a little break in the middle now. And then we'll be back with... Well, we'll be back with you guys in just a second. But it could be any amount of time at this end. So we shall see in a bit.
I'm going to buy you a proper clapper.
It gives me, I've got the clap. Right, welcome back to the Sunday League Pundit Show. We're going to have a second part now. We're going to start taking breaks in between it, just to make it a little bit easier to listen to, I suppose. So it's not just one long block of us
droning,
whinging at each other. So we've actually had quite a long break, which obviously for you guys was only a couple of seconds, but for us has been... We've got 15, 20 minutes on it. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go on to some of our own personal Sunday League football experiences, times that we've played together. Like there's a couple of games that we just spoke about in the break where we've all played together, and I'd completely forgotten about that. I didn't realise we'd all three of us played in the same team at any point. Obviously, Tin Ribs and I were in a football team for about 5 years together. Jim Jam and I have played for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, looking back at it, as in the same team. And then we've done a little bit where all three of us were in the same team as well. So we're just going to have a quick sort of reminisce about how things were and some of the special things that we remember about playing games with each other. And I know personally I've got a lot of memories of Tin Ribs when we were playing together, of certain things and certain matches and certain individual moments where, you know, things just stick in your mind, don't they? And there's certain things, like when you think of somebody, there's certain things where you just like, oh, that person, I think of this moment. One, the first one I've got to talk about is that in Haywood, when we were in Haywood, and me and Spen were up on the halfway line, and we're just kind of chatting away, and this guy, kid you not, this guy hit an absolute rocket from about 40 yards out. Right, it's against us, it wasn't us, he hit an absolute rocket, and he'd come to the, from the side of me, and he'd run off already celebrating. I mean, I thought we conceded, and you just saw his glove above the heads of all the defenders, just saw his glove come up and just tip it over the bar, and as this guy's running past me, what are you celebrating for, dickhead? He ran off and he looked as though, how is that not, it's not even possible that that's not gone in. Me and Spen loved that. We had a lot of fun with that guy for the next 20 minutes or so on the pitch. But literally, all he saw was just his glove. You couldn't see him. Just his glove. You know, above everybody and tip this ball over. Great save. That's my one main sort of abiding memory of gaming with you on a Sunday morning.
Ironically, one of my favourite memories, like one of the first things that always comes to my mind was after I'd had my surgery and I couldn't play and I was running line.
You used to come and watch us, didn't you?
Yeah. And there was at one point, because you were that fast, their linesman would just flag. The second you ran, they'd just flag. And I actually asked the ref if you could be offside in your own half, and he just looked at me and went, no. And I just went, so why does he keep flagging for him being offside in his own half? And the ref actually went over and had a word with the guy.
I remember that game, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but that really stuck in my head, because that guy just raised his flag every time you went forward. Mm-hmm. And then the ref caught him. After I pointed it out, the ref caught him. You were like a good foot and a half inside our area.
Mm.
And you started running. He whipped his flag up and the referee just literally waved him off. And I think you actually scored on that one as well.
Yeah, did I? Yeah. I remember that game, yeah.
How fun that was.
Because I remember you talking to the ref. Because I wondered what the hell you were going on. Yeah, because obviously I was nowhere near you. So
well, I was asking, can you be offside in your own half? And the referee just looked at me and went, no. And I went, oh, that's what I thought. And he just looked at me and went, why? I went, because he's raised his flag every time he runs forward, even when he's in our half. And then the next time he did it, he caught him out.
Yeah, I remember that game, actually.
That's the thing with Sunday League, isn't it? With the linos, it doesn't matter if it's offside or not. Yeah, because your own team is
sticking it up. That's why my team hated me running the line, because
I was always fair as well, and people got frustrated and they'd shout at me.
Swearing at me.
Your own team are turning around and they're having a go, and you're like, well don't play them on then. Yeah. You literally, the one having a go at me, you're the one that was a foot behind. If you'd have been with the rest of your defenders, he would have been off. But because you lagged back and you were too lazy to keep up with everybody else, Don't have a go at me because you can't rock.
I think that's why I did it fair half the time, so he didn't make me do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like at one point, this one person said to me, why do you keep doing it? I said, look, I'm giving you a cheat. If you are in line with me and they're not, they're offside. So just always look to where I am and you'll learn where the line is. And they still didn't learn because, let's face it, most people are absolutely retarded when it comes to football.
It's only Sunday morning, anyway.
Yeah, the amount of people that I've seen playing, and this goes for Friday nights, anywhere I've ever played, there are some people who are so naturally gifted or so skillful, but they've got absolutely no football brain whatsoever. And it drives me mental.
Constant wrong choices or trying things that are so far advanced of what they need to be that they make themselves look
but
stupid.
Like, as
when
a goalkeeper,
really,
one of the things that annoys me the most is you get the ball. So I've got the ball. Now, there's only one way I'm sending that ball.
Hopefully forward. Yeah. Sending it.
Yeah, sending it forward. Whether it's out, roll out or pass out, it's going forward, up the pitch, or at least diagonally sideways or something. The amount of times you get the ball and everyone just turns around and doesn't look at you or walks away or just stands there looking at you gormlessly. And it's like, well, what do you want me to do? Who wants the ball? Who's actively engaging in the need for the ball? And the amount of times that they've got their backs turned to you, you're just thinking, well, what do you want me to do?
What infuriates me when you're in net, because obviously I played a lot in net myself recently, is when you stood there with the ball, right, and you've got two wingers inside your half, right, with acres of space behind them, and they're looking at you, stood on a tuppence, going, pass me the ball, pass me the ball. But if you're not moving, you're not getting the ball. Run, and I'll try and find you with the ball. Yeah. They just stand there looking at you going, pass.
And by the time, by the time the ball gets to them, because they just stood there and haven't moved
they've
to the ball.
They've got two on them.
They put other people on
and
them.
They lose it.
Yeah.
And then I'm the one that's looked at because I made the bad pass.
Yeah.
Fuck, move them.
My problem is, initially when I get the ball, I can do a good kick. I can feed the ball out. But then because no one's there, and I know in my head, I've got that timer running out. I've got to get rid of the ball, Well, by the time someone actually switches on, he goes, oh, hang on a minute, I've got to do something. I've already screwed it up because now I'm lashing at the ball rather than trying to kick the ball. So there's like a panic moment in my head. Whereas if people just actively were like, yeah, I'm here or I'm doing something, it'd make life easier.
See, whereas I look at things differently when I'm in net. I'll get the ball and I'll have a look for somebody. Mm. And if nobody moves, I just leather it up front. And then they all look at me and go, what was that? I go, if you don't move, you're not going to get it, are you? Mm. It's up to you. I'm clearing
get bored of being like, as a goalkeeper, this sounds stupid because people are like, oh, surely as a goalkeeper you want lots of shots. I don't.
What goalkeeper wants to face lots of shots?
I just want to play my game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Because eventually you're going to let one in.
Yeah, basically.
I like a clean sheet. I'm sorry, I like clean sheets.
Mate, we played, was it Friday just gone? Yeah, it's Friday just gone. Right, so 2 days ago. And I started in there, I thought, I'll do my 10 minutes and then I'll go out and then my calf went again. After about 10 minutes, I'm like, I'm going to have to go back then. I really did not want to be facing any shots. I faced one, and it was as I was getting my gloves on.
Yeah.
And I ended up saving it with my arm because I didn't have my glove on properly. After that, nothing. A couple of balls come through, but I was there and I cleared like you did with me the other week. I was there, so I just booted it. I'm quite happy with that. Let the ball run through, let me leather it back up, and then I'll just watch it all. It's fine. Because then I can tell the defenders what they're doing. And I can even shout to the midfielders and go, well, you need to go there. And, you know, Laney, come back here and do this. And, you know, Liam, go and do that. Or whatever it is.
It was such a tough game of football because they were very defensive. They had quality defenders.
Yeah, they did. They had all the defenders.
Why do I never get all the defenders? Can I just ask this?
You'd have loved that.
Yeah, but why do I never get... Why am I always on the team?
They're Ad, Bish, Biddle. Fellows.
Oh, for God's sake.
And I'm like, they were tough.
They're the team.
Did we win 2-0?
2-0 we won.
2-0 we won, but fuck,
that's
a
team
struggle.
That I dreamed to be on.
Should have been 3. I was put through 1-1 when I first went up. And... I was in two minds, do I bring it down? Because Miller was out of his area.
Oh, with Miller the goalkeeper?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was like, do I take it down and curl it with my left and go round it? But I didn't. As the ball was coming down, I let it bounce and I tried to lift it over him.
But I take it that was my quality through ball for you.
Yes, it was your through ball. It was a great ball. It bounced in front and I completely fluffed my eye. I just did not catch it right when I went to lob him at all. It was just great.
It was in the midfield.
Oh, it gave me the shout. For a second, I thought Miller might have actually saved it.
No, he missed. He'd got absolutely no chance. Wherever I hit it, he was not getting it. Because it was just over his head and he was off his line. There was no chance.
But it was nice playing with somebody. I knew where he was going to be. So as soon as I picked it up in midfield, I knew he gave me the shout. I knew where he was going to go.
That game where I scored, Liam said he loves the fact that I actually move and pre-move. Because as soon as I got my space, I started to run. He lobbed it over and I just smashed it into the roof of the net.
And yeah, too many of them stand and ask for the ball.
This is the problem, and this is why I can't get my head around it. I'm a goalkeeper, and I'm shit outfield. I'm fully aware that I am shit. I've got no arguments with it. So when I'm scoring more goals than people who think they're strikers, it drives me absolutely batshit crazy, because I shouldn't be scoring more goals than strikers.
This actually isn't Sunday League, by the way, we're talking about.
There's a load of us that used to play Sunday League years ago
and we just get together every Friday evening 7 till 8 and we have a kickabout. Yeah. We just hire a pitch out for an hour and we just have two teams.
We actually played a Sunday League team. We threw our team together and we played that Sunday League team, remember?
I wasn't there for that, was I?
You were, you filmed me.
Oh yeah, but I wasn't.
Yeah, we actually did all right there once we started pulling that shit together.
Yeah, you went a couple down early on.
Yeah.
But then once people started realising this isn't Friday, we're not pissing about. Yeah, it's an actual game that you want to win. You started picking it up, and I actually played really well.
Yeah, the problem is on the Friday, everybody wants that glory pass.
Yeah, but have you noticed, like, and this I cannot get my head around. Given you know what I'm like as a footballer. And you saw me a little bit later when I was maybe a touch less greedy than I was in my 20s. Oh. But you know what I was like as a sort of 24, 25, 26, 27-year-old striker.
So basically, at that stage...
If I get the ball inside my own half, I'm thinking I can score from here. Yep. And I don't care where I pick the ball. There was one game, if you remember, I don't know if you were the keeper, you might have been. I come back to defend a corner. I say defend, I just stood in the way hoping that I was the first man. Basically, so if it hit the first man, I'd clear it. If it went over my head, it wasn't my problem. I didn't have to. So there's no real responsibility for me.
Yeah.
But occasionally, I used to run back to make it look like I was doing something. And I ran back, and he hit the first man. It came up to my feet. First thing I thought, I'm stood on my own 6-yard box, and I'm like, I'll score from here. I ran up, took it past one, passed to Vinny on the halfway line, demanded the 1-2. Went through it, smashed it against the bar. I was fuming, smashed it against the crossbar. I was so
annoyed. What made it more impressive was that you actually passed to Vinny. I mean, we are talking about when he, in his earlier years, if we were looking at FIFA, his pass buttons were broken.
Gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even have them.
No.
It's not that they didn't work.
He just had run and shoot. That was it. That's all
he had. Yeah. Run, shoot, bitch like fuck if someone's
I mean that. I knew that when I played first ever game I played with him at Satchmo's. He got put on as a right wing. I've never seen somebody play right wing the way he did.
Yes, straight down the middle up front.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm a left sided forward. This right wing shit's not going to work for me. I can't do this. I come in off the left, not off the right. I remember once, were you there when Sean, we had, basically when we started at the Nesbitt, which was the Crown to begin with. So we started at the Crown, right, and when I very, very first started was before Sean took over as manager.
Okay.
And Dan was running it, do you remember the tall
guy? Yeah, Dan, yeah.
Dan was running it.
Oh, okay.
And I just went to training, and I never had a conversation with Dan or anything, he was the one that chose the team and everything. But he was also our centre-back, very, very good centre-back, Dan was. Very good centre-back. And all I did was go to training on a five-a-side pitch with him. And then we got to the game, and I never even thought to say, like, I'm a striker. I'm out-and-out striker. I'm not even a forward. I'm just a striker. Because I thought it would be obvious at training. And we got there, and he's reading the team out. And I'm sat there and I'm fucking looking around the changing room thinking, these fuckers are going to expect me to run here. He's just put me in centre mid. I'm not fucking centre. What the fuck is this all about? Now, when I joined the Crown, they played six, lost six, scored one, conceded about 21 goals or something. They've been hammered every week. And I'm like, so it was me, Marcus and Gav that joined at the same time. Do you remember Gav Jones, the right back?
Yes.
Marcus, obviously, everyone remembers Marcus. But he didn't, and slapping people. So Marcus joined on the right wing. Gav joined at right back. And I joined in centre mid. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. And we sort of, we got to the end of the first half and we were 2-1 down, which for us was a great result because we were playing top of the league. They played 6-1-6. They were doing really well. So we come off 2-1 down. And I'm like, this is fucking, this is a result. This is making me, Marcus and Gav look like fucking the saviours here. And we're still losing, but it's going all right. And then Craig got injured. So I went to Dan and I went, look, can you put a midfielder on and just stick me up front because I'm not comfortable. I don't know what I'm doing as a central. I mean, I know what I'm doing, but my body won't do it because like that defensive part of my brain, it's gone. It was injured maybe years ago, but I just don't have that defensive part of the brain. So I said to Dan, will you just do me a favour, stick me up front instead of Craig and then put a midfielder on? He went, yeah, yeah, no problem. One assist and a hat-trick later, we beat him 6-2. And I'm like, yeah, I can live with this. And Dan went, I can see where you want to play now. He said, we'll just stick you up front and just let you do what you want to do. I'm like, thanks, mate. That's great. That'll do me. and that was it. And I never got in trouble for not defending. Like, I used to come down for the odd corner and that. And just occasionally, like, you know, when the weather was horrific.
Yeah.
We had a couple of games on our home pitch. Our home pitch was pretty bad. But we had a couple of games where the weather was just horrendous. And I'd scored a hat-trick. And there was still about half an hour left of the game. So I said to Vinny, who was our other centre-back, I said, you go up front, try and get a couple of goals. I can't wait to slide tackle in this. I've got to give it a go. And I'm not going to give it a go as a striker, because as soon as you stood up front and go for a slide tackle, you get booked. Simple. So I went back as a centre-back, just because, mate, the fucking fun I had that day. It's because you went to ground to slide, and you just didn't stop, because it was that wet and muddy. You just, woo,
well, if we're on about the same pitch,
brilliant.
It was literally a bog.
Oh, it was horrendous. Absolutely
like,
horrendous.
A goal that will always stick in my memory, that even their manager said at the end he had sympathy for me. It was that muddy that this guy's hit a shot from like 32 yards out and the ball is laked, like absolutely caked
it was.
In mud. And dickhead here is trying to catch it. And all that's happened is the mud is transferred from the ball to my gloves and the ball's continued into the net. And I'm like... Even their manager was like, mate, that was so unlucky. Because if the...
You weren't stopping that.
It was like an inch thick, though.
You'd have had to have flapped at it.
Yeah, but the mud was like an inch thick on the ball. So as the ball's rolling, it's just like gathering mud. Mm. It was, terrible pitch. And if you stood in the goal on the one end, you could hear the water running past you underneath. Yeah. You could actually hear it trickling underneath. It was horrendous.
It was so bad.
Yeah, you're not allowed to play on them sort of pitches nowadays, though, now, are you? They close the pitches, which is probably a good thing because it does actually keep the pitches in better condition. I can understand why they're doing it. But like you say, how much fun is it on a proper muddy pitch tackling?
Bring back the 80s when you could actually tackle and you could play on muddy pitches. I loved it, mate. I loved it. Even as a striker. I mean, I wasn't a striker as a kid.
It was great as a goalkeeper. Now, one-on-one, when the ball's come through and it's a 50-50, you just go for it, because you just slide
forever.
You
don't stop. You don't stop. But then when the ref looks at you, you're like, well, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Like, I can't grow spikes to dig into the ground to stop myself.
The landing as a goalkeeper as well in that mud, it's a lot softer.
Oh,
I mean, when you're playing...
Yeah, but getting up's not as easy, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and then standing there just dripping with mud, you weigh about 6 stone more, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I actually weigh 6 stone more now, but... Yeah, when you're covered in mud and you stood there and you're like, oh, my arms feel really heavy. Look, you've just got mud dripping underneath your...
I like it.
Yeah, because we're all looking off to the side, just for the YouTube viewers, that this is the picture that we're currently being shown right here. So that gives you something to look at. There you go. Not that I'm with a Saints and a Leeds fan or anything.
But... yeah,
for the audio listeners, the hardest thing I found
as a goalkeeper was that I could make brilliant saves to my left, but diving to me right was just not natural.
I didn't find
that. See, no, that is going on my coaching style. You will always find that a student will always have one side that they prefer.
Do you know what? I never did.
I've
always been probably slightly better on my right, but I've never really noticed.
I prefer, if I'm going to just push one out, I prefer pushing out with my right hand as opposed to my left.
No,
we're not diving to the left.
It's diving, because diving to the right, I could feel that I could push off, but because of right foot, I could push off harder and get further distance with my right foot.
Mm.
To dive than I would with me left.
Genuinely, that's nothing.
Some people don't have that,
but I'm not a natural goalkeeper.
A lot do. I had one lad who used to come to a lot of coaching, and in his head, he was no good going to his left. When you got him out of that frame of mind, he was actually very good going to his left. But you will find if you stay with someone a lot and you're training people a lot, you'll actually notice they are weak.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Weaker or stronger, that's one side or another.
Just never occurred to me that because for me, diving's diving. Yeah.
Well, next time we're warming up or something, watch me, because I do have a favoured side, but I don't know how significant the favoured side is, so I don't know whether you'd pick up on it or not, but it'd be interesting to find out.
Well, looking back on historical events, shall we say, from the years that I have played with you, I would say you prefer your right-hand side. Because your diving is potentially further, but it's definitely more confident looking when you go right-hand side. Particularly going back to that game you were just on about, on the Friday night game, when you played the team. You made two or three cracking diving saves to your right-hand side. I'm not saying you didn't to your left, but they just, looking back, they looked more confident going right.
Yeah.
And tipping away that way, rather than the other side. But it's not something that I would have consciously ever thought about or considered.
Three of my best ever saves are all to my left, and yet I am more confident. I feel more natural going to my right.
That's mental, that, isn't it? I've never even thought about it. Genuinely never.
I fully know that if something was there, so I tend to find when I was walking, I would be more edging over to my right hand side to allow more space on my left to try force them to go that way.
Wow.
Because I knew I'd be able to cover more distance quicker.
Never even thought about that. It's mental,
nuts.
That, isn't it?
Yep, nuts.
Never thought about that. So what is... Right, so we've spoken about my abiding memory of Tin Ribs, which was that save, which was just insane. What's your... Have you got any specific standout? You didn't gain with Tin Ribs very much. But have you got any standout memories of him on a football pitch?
He just yells. He's just a very angry goalkeeper. That was the thing that got me. But he's commanding, and that was nice to see. And you don't see it very often on Sunday League. He's probably one of the more vocal goalkeepers that I've ever played with.
I want a vocal goalkeeper. If your keeper's not vocal, it's just fucking pointless, isn't it, really? There is
nobody more vocal than Tim.
There's two decent reviews for
Thank
you.
Thank you very much.
So what's your abiding memory of Jim Jam? Have you got any? Because like I say, he didn't go for very
not
long.
Not such. I mean, we had the trainings.
You've got the Friday nights. So
yeah,
you've got
Friday nights.
Well.
You know. But on Sunday League side, we only really had those trainings with the last club.
Oxladders.
But other than that, there was very few remote. That whole thing was a shambles.
Yeah, it was tough to get any sort of abiding memories from that time, wasn't it? Because
the
team were awful.
Literally, I have abiding memories on one game. Well, two games. One that I watched, and then the one that I played in. But other than that, I don't really have many memories of that. And then from a Friday night, just that he's a bit of a bastard to keep hold of. it's like you're a bit like, you're not quite as good as Fellows at the, I mean, the only difference between you and Fellows is you manage to lose your marker very easily, whereas with Fellows, we tell someone to mark him and then nobody marks him, which drives me
He's so good at his head, isn't he?
But what annoyed me was that one time when I said, someone pick up Fellows, and then Jake goes, well, someone just mark Fellows. 2 seconds later, runs in, Ted, a goal. For fuck's sake, just pick him up!
I love taking corners when Fellows there, because he knows where the corner's
going.
Yeah,
but what I mean is, how can two people say, someone mark him, and then they still don't get marked?
I love the losing mark, playing up front. It's so easy to, like, because nobody will know who's marking me. Because if we've not got the ball or we're defending, all I'll do is walk from one side of a pitch to the other side of the pitch past defenders.
Yeah.
Nobody will know who's going to have me.
I
like the end.
And I used to do it on a Sunday as well, is I'd walk across the face of the pitch until the defender that was marking me goes, he's yours now, and then I start walking back. No, don't worry about it. No, I used to do that all the time. And I still do it now on a Friday. You'll notice, right? You'll probably pick it up more now I've told you. But I'll do it now. I'll stand specifically with someone and I'll look at them and go, I don't know. And I'll start walking across. They go, oh, he's yours. No, I don't want that. No, I'll go back again. Don't worry, he's coming back.
No, that's what I do. I'll switch the markers.
You ghost really well. And I think as a striker, that's a really good trait. If you can, like, say, I use the term ghost, it's a great thing because people don't, they're too busy paying attention. If you're really, really good and you can't ghost, you get forgotten.
For me, I don't need to watch the whole game.
Yeah.
Right. So when we're defending a corner or if we're defending, like, vociferously, I can just look at what I'm doing and who's around me and where I want to stand. I don't need to watch the game. But you look at the defenders and they're all watching the game. So I'll just fuck off over here then. You're not even looking at me anyway.
Yeah, but that's
when you play against him in goal, he's always telling them to mark me. You know, it really pisses me off because I'm like, in space.
As a goalkeeper, you can see everything. So why is the goalkeeper not normally, like, as soon as he starts moving, I'll go, Biddle, where are you going? Go left. Yeah. And then he'll go back the other way and I'll go, okay, right, stay where you are, Biddle. And then I'll turn around to Nick and I'll go, Nick, 5 yards left.
Yeah.
Just drop 5 yards, or just do this 5 yards, or just do that 10 yards.
It gets really annoying against him because he's telling them.
Because I don't want to face shots. I'm a keeper that does not want to face a shot.
But that's the whole point. But like I say, that's one thing you do really well. You do that ghosting thing.
Unless I'm there.
Unless I
watch it.
I'm quite fortunate in the fact that most times you're on my team rather than the opposition, so I don't really worry about that too much. And then, to be fair, what tends to happen when you're on the same team as Fellows is that someone picks you up and then just ignores Fellows completely, which baffles me completely. Cause baffles me. But anyway, but no, that's the one thing. That is the one attribute I absolutely think you have. And it's just such a great attribute for a striker to just sort of, like, be ignored. Because it's great, because all of a sudden you find yourself with loads of time. Because that's like when I say when I scored that, I went out of goals, I tried to play outfield for a bit, got bored of it, ran up front, and I literally had Jake look at me, Adam looked at me, and then the ball came over the top and I smashed it in the net. And then he was like, what the hell?
I wasn't there for that, so I can't, I know he scored, but I can't verify he, quote, smashed it into the net.
Oh, right.
To be fair, I can't verify that. If it was a proper goalkeeper, they may have saved it because it sort of went, like, the mics, the ball, it sort of went like that.
Okay, we're going to go with he didn't smash it in, but he still scored.
It was a full smash volley. I hit it as hard as I could. But
I was frustrated I didn't score this week because he stuck his foot out and he wasn't a goalkeeper. Alex saved it. This one. And
it was a good save, to be fair.
It was a great save, but it was really frustrating because I hit it. I hit it hard, and he just.
It was a proper David De Gea moment.
Did you see when he conceded that one that went over his head? And I said, anyone taller would save that.
Yeah, I thought I was a bit, bit cruel, a bit unnecessary, maybe.
I like playing against Alex because I've totally got in his head with my shithousery.
I love Alex being on my team because he's like a fucking
He's hands down the best player there.
Does not.
He is so good. But I've got in his head, massively got in his head, because I know that guy can hit the top corner. But against me, he always plays it into, like, a perfect, comfortable diving position.
Right, I'm curious then, have you got any abiding memories of me on a Sunday then,
Paddy's.
Jim?
Got any Paddy's.
I don't know, it was just nice.
Would be, just, if you ask Carolyn.
I know he's lying now, as soon as he said it's been nice.
It's been nice. No, I remember, everywhere he takes a corner and I scored a couple from his corners, so that was always nice.
The thing is with my corners is you know where they're going because they always go to the same fucking spot.
But a quick question. As his strike partner, did you find it frustrating the amount of times you'd be open and he didn't pass?
No, because I got a bit less selfish as I got older.
Yeah.
He would have been frustrated if he'd have played with me in my
20s. Oh, okay.
Because I didn't pass to fucking anybody.
No, no.
I get more frustrated when I pass to him and he doesn't score.
That happens a lot
that
these
really
days.
Pass, that
yeah,
pisses
that,
me off.
That
happens a
when
lot.
When was the last time he scored on Friday stretch?
Last week.
Before that?
Scored two last week.
Yeah, but before that?
Before that, I've been in net for about 6 weeks.
Every time I've played, you've been out.
Yeah, I've been in net a lot, and I lately. But I think out of my last four that I've played outfield, I've scored in two. So I've done all right, but not great. It needs to be better.
Yeah, you're right, shit.
What's your abiding memory? I think I know where this is going. But,
well, obviously, we all know where I'm going, but the temper tantrums have got to be way over there.
If you ask Kaz...
The temper tantrums are of, like...
Our manager was Sean Money, and he was married to Kaz, and Kaz was the treasury. She used to deal with all the cash. Like, she came to football 1 week and bought me a pack of dummies because I was always spitting mine out.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's how bad it was.
Proper. We're talking. You know when your kid has a paddy in the supermarket and they go down and arms are going everywhere?
Yeah.
That was him on a Sunday.
I had one game I remember playing. It was actually against your lot, but you weren't there. When you were at the Bear and Pheasant.
Oh, okay.
You weren't there.
Yeah.
But it was against your lot.
Yeah, that was the week
right.
before
now,
so I was on holiday.
Let's just put this into some form of context before I tell you how bad it got. I scored 11. Right? And we as a team scored 14.
I just want to point out
but
the Bear and Pheasant were that bad. I got man of the match every week and I conceded a minimum of 9 goals.
They were pretty bad. But I'd scored 11 and we'd scored 14 as a team. And because I got 4 goals disallowed for offside, I threatened to run the referee over in my goal. That's how bad I got. I'd scored 11. Like, that should be enough for anybody, surely.
Yeah.
You know? On that fourth one that you disallowed, I went, I hope your fucking pushback's quicker than my car, mate, because I'm coming for you.
Yeah, but can we talk about how you felt when the next training that you were having, Sean turns around and goes, I've got that centre-back and the goalkeeper from the Bear and Pheasant coming.
Oh, yeah. He said, oh, we've got the centre-back and one of the full-backs and the keeper from the Bear and Pheasant coming. I went, you are fucking joking, aren't you? I said, you've got to be kidding. I put 11 past him.
The centre-back was absolute class.
I went, who's that? He went, that's the keeper. I went, that's not the keeper. I fucking scored past. And he went, oh no, I wasn't there last week. Oh, fucking hell. I feel a bit better now than fucking hell because I wasn't exactly full of confidence. We put 14 past him. Jesus. But yeah, it turns out it was somebody else. So I was actually okay with it.
Mm.
So go on, anyway, your abiding memory. I've got a feeling it's the weak Naston game we played at home, but there we go.
Was this the ball comes to you, you smash it from just inside the halfway line, it goes through the air. Your arms are out, you're celebrating, the keeper flaps, you're already celebrating, the keeper's flapping, you're still celebrating and looking around quite smugly, and then the ball ripples the net as it goes in.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one.
And he's still adamant to this day, I didn't celebrate till the ball hit the net. Bollocks. He was celebrating the second that ball left his foot.
Actually, thinking back...
Moment of truth.
Thinking back, we were winning like 7-0 at the time, right? And it was towards the end of the game, to be fair.
Yeah.
And Tim very rarely came out and claimed a corner. He'd get rid of them, but he very rarely claimed it. Now, his throw-ins were far, far better than his kicks. I knew that he could reach me anywhere around the halfway line or inside thereof with a throw. And he came out and caught this corner. I'm like, fucking hell. So I sort of called for it. I thought, I know he can hit me now. And then as the ball's coming to me, I'm like, I'm fucking knackered. What am I doing? And so the ball comes to me. I had a quick look, saw the keeper miles off his eyes. I thought, oh, fuck it. I can't be arsed running with it. Like, it would have been easy because there was no defenders around me. And I was quick years ago because I was skinny. But I knew for a fact I could have just taken it down, run round, gone round the keeper and score. It would have been a piece of space, but I thought, I can't be arsed. I'm knackered. And the ball comes around, I just hit it, and I do vaguely remember.
He finally admits it.
There's a reason why I remember it differently, and I will explain that now. The second I hit the ball, I don't even think the ball had crossed the halfway line. I'd already turned around facing my keeper, celebrating with my arms out like that. Because sometimes you just know, don't you? And I hit this ball, and I just knew.
It was sweet.
Now, the reason I forgot that bit was because I was stood there that what felt like that long. I'm like, I fucking missed this. And as I turn around, I watch the ball go in the back of the net. And I'm like, that's why I remember watching the ball hit the net.
To be fair, it was really central as well. So the only way that wouldn't have gone in is if it went over. Mm. Because it was like literally centre of the net. Mm. Yeah, a good yard each side, like I said. It was
well hit. It's one of that. The second you hit it, you just knew. I knew the keeper was just far enough out that he was never getting back. And I'd hit it well enough that it would go in. And I do remember turning around to you and... So, and then I turned around because I thought I'd messed up, and as I turned around I watched the ball hit the back of the net, and that's why I remember hitting it and watching it go in, and I'm like, surely I didn't turn around, because I remember seeing it go in. And then it's sort of over the years it's come back to me.
It always made me laugh though how many people got caught out by my throw.
Oh, it was huge.
And my favourite assist, because I had a few from throws, but my favourite one is Marcus. Because to this day, he claims that this didn't happen this way. So I throw the ball out to the halfway line where Marcus...
It was just inside their arm.
Yeah, and it's gone. And their defenders tried to come forward and he misread it. So it goes over his head,
bounces,
and Marcus takes it in control. And he runs probably three paces. And just as the ball's about to get about a yard outside the area, he toe pokes it.
No. Where are you remembering that shot from?
Just outside the area, wasn't it?
It fucking wasn't. It was 30 yards out.
Was it 30
yards
out?
It was fucking 30 yards out.
So anyway, he's toe-poked it. It was a toe-poke. There's no two ways about it. He's toe-poked it, and it screams into the top corner, doesn't it? It's like right in the top bins.
It was in the bin.
Absolute toe-poke. So we're all like, and he's going, no, top of the foot, laces. No, Marcus, that was a toe poke. You are not getting away.
Do you know what? To this day, he'll tell you he's hit that with his laces.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Still to this day. Moment.
Because I saw him in a shot probably 6 or 7 months ago, and I mentioned that, and he went, no, I did hit it. I struck it really well.
With his toes.
He didn't. You didn't strike it well at all. A ball does not fly off your foot that quickly if you hit it with your hip. Pinged. I'm like, that was definitely
a toe poke.
You can tell.
Nothing wrong with a toe poke.
Certainly not when it flies in the net like that. That was a cup game, that was.
Yeah, it was an absolute bullet. Oh, it was just so funny. It was a proper toe poke.
But it was a toe poke.
That is.
It's good golf. I mean, fair play to him, it was right in the corner. Yeah. But yeah, it was definitely a toe poke. But yeah, I remember that one. That was good fun, that was. I remember as well, we were playing my ex team, Slater's Ales.
Yeah.
And we were playing them in a cup. I think it was the round after, actually. But the weather was shite. And we were 2-2. Like, Slater's Ales were 2 divisions above us as well. We were expecting a good hide in that day. It was at King Eddie's. Right, the weather was horrendous. We were 2-2. There was about 6 minutes left. And I got the ball on the halfway line. And I hit it. And it stopped in the mud on the line. And the keeper walked back and picked it up. And the ref was like... I went, you can't fucking do that, mate. I said, any other weather that had gone in, like, you're not telling me that I wouldn't have bounced in. I said, it's got to be like a drop ball or something. No, just carry on. I'm like, I can't believe that. And then we got beat in extra time, I think, afterwards. I'm like, absolutely got it, because we would have won that game.
Yeah.
But again, clean strike, halfway line. I used to love them, mate. Didn't get the chance very often, but when you did, as long as you hit it well, they always look good. But yeah, stopped on the line in the mud, I was absolutely fuming.
Okay, so very quickly then. Best player you've ever played with on a Sunday? You can't include any Friday, it has to be a Sunday.
Oh, best player in what respect though? Because there's better players for different reasons.
Let's just go.
I'll go through my top three then.
Okay.
Best passer, blocker, without a shadow of a doubt. Mm-hmm. He could hit me from 70 yards and it would land on the blade of grass I wanted it to land on. Unbelievable. Work rate and unselfishness, Spenner.
I thought you were going to say tackling for Spenner.
He did not stop. Like, at the time, like, years ago, I was a smoker. And I was a very, very, very lazy striker. If the ball's going forward, I will sprint. But if the ball's going back towards my goal, that's your job to do. It's fuck all to do with me. Not my responsibility, not my problem. I was very, very arrogant and selfish as a striker. Not like now I've changed my game a bit because I'm not as quick as I was and I do come back and I do a bit, but back then I did fuck all. Spenny used to do my running for me twice over. Like, he was absolutely unbelievable. And you're the best goalkeeper that I've ever had behind me.
Oh, thank you.
Because given the guys that I've had behind me, I'd pick you over the others. So definitely as a goalkeeper, you're the best. Like I say, work rate and unselfishness, Spenner, without doubt. And passing ability, Blockhead, was just insane.
Can I throw one out there? Because I know this person might be listening. Most skillful player you've ever played with?
That's a tough one, you know, because there's been a couple.
See, I'm thinking of a certain little kid from Brazil.
I mean, that guy was just fucking funny. Are you on about Jonu when he...
Yeah.
You know, now, we were frightened of playing Jonu. When he come over, he was 15 or 16.
Honestly, he
looked like fucking Fido Dido off the old 7-Up adverts. Like, he looked like a stick insect.
What a player.
Very, very small, very skinny. And he turned up the one day, and I even remember where we were at the top end of Stafford, at the school.
Yeah.
Whose name escapes me at the minute. Is it Graham Balfour?
Yeah.
Playing at Graham Balfour. And we got 10 players. And we're like, fuck, to have 11, we're going to have to put Jonu on the pitch. We've got no fucking choice. Like, and we're worried about insurance and injuries, and like, people are going to batter him. He doesn't really speak the language. He's going to struggle. We're in trouble here. I have never seen a fucking 16-year-old kid take the piss out of an entire squad the way he did. Unbelievable. But yeah, you are dead right. I was thinking of players I played with regularly, not... Oh, mate, honestly. I've never seen anything like it in my fucking life.
The best moment, though, for me, was that time when he ran down the right wing, and I can't remember who was playing the ball, and when those people were like, yeah, I'm open it! Or you!
Do you know the irony is, do you know how to say pass in Brazilian Portuguese?
No.
Pass. It's literally the same fucking word.
It's like passe de bola.
It's just pass. Like, he could have shouted pass and we'd have all understood him, but because he didn't know that, because nobody had told him, Marcus, hello, you listening? Is your fucking...
Well, that you referring to Jonah listening.
Jonah is a follower, actually, of the pod, so I hope he's listening.
There you go, mate. Have a nice little mention from us.
I'll get Marcus to translate it for him if he doesn't speak English yet, which he may well do at this point. But yeah, honestly, he was fucking unbelievable.
We actually played one team, and their only tactic was just kick him, because that was the only thing they had to stop him.
I remember that game, because Marcus shouted something in Portuguese over the pitch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think they're fucking going to be in trouble here. Because they switched then, and Tony went onto the left, and Marcus went onto the right, and Marcus just kicked holes out of their fullback.
Yeah.
Absolutely kicked holes out of him for the rest of the game.
Because this lad was just basically assaulting Jonu.
Yeah. Because I remember the rest of that game, Marcus spoke in Portuguese.
Yeah.
Didn't speak a word of English, because he wanted their guy to think he didn't understand what he was saying.
Yeah.
Because he approached him after the game and spoke to him in perfect English, going, you ever fucking go near my nephew again? I will stab you. There's no two ways about it. I'll have you. Proper had to go. Jonu was brutal. And do you know what? And Jonu still never lost a ball. Mate, honestly, the guy was just insane. It's just crazy.
Yeah, definitely the most skillful player I've ever seen.
Yeah. I was going to go with a couple of others, actually, but... Yeah. Although he was only there probably 5 months.
Yeah.
He wasn't there very long yet. He ended up having to go home because... if he'd got a work permit, he would have ended up playing, because I think Portsmouth, Villa, and there was another one that was after him as well. But he couldn't get a work permit, from what I can gather, and that's the only reason he didn't sign an actual contract.
Yeah, remember,
he started playing for Stafford Rangers.
Did he?
Young'uns. And he used to come off the pitch, and he'd be like, I prefer playing with you guys more suddenly. He said, because I know that they're at a level. He said, but when I play the ball through, he said, they don't do what they need to do. And he says, but if I play the ball through to stretch, I know he's going to at least have a shot.
Mm.
Whereas these, they stop it and they come back and they fuck away. He says, and it's frustrating. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So when I play the ball forward, I want you to have a shot. He says, that's the whole point of me putting the ball forward. He used to get really frustrated.
Such a good player.
Very, very good. He was levels above us.
Yeah, it would be nice if he just came over for like a holiday and then we took him over on a Friday night.
Oh, I'd fucking love that.
I would love that. That would be amazing.
I bet he's still got it.
Because it's probably better. He's probably got more of a football head as well.
Yeah, well, he will have, yeah.
So go on then, Jim Dan, who's the best player? You obviously might not be someone we know, but...
Pick a player that you do know.
Ooh.
Probably Jove.
Gruwich. I knew he was going to go with Gruwich. He's a quality player.
I'm not going to lie, Dave.
He's been there on a Friday. I'm not even sure if
he's... Is he the only player centre-back?
It varies. Sometimes, it doesn't matter. He can play anywhere, really, to be fair to him.
Yeah. He's just holds up the ball, he just wants it so much, and it's just. And I played centre back with him, I started playing up front with him on a Friday night and started linking up.
Yeah, because when I took him out, it was him and Gruwich that were coming one on one with me when I slid out.
We can just link up with him, know what he wants to do, he wants to play the same style of football.
But that's the thing, isn't it? When you're with a group of people and you know what they want, like when I was playing with Spen, I knew where he was putting the ball. He didn't give a fuck where you were, Spen.
Yeah.
He was playing the ball across the goal and that was it. End of story. Because remember, my first meeting with Spen, very first time, I'd not even spoken to him before the game. It was just, Sean just went, here's a new striker, because Spen had turned up about 25 seconds before we kicked off. When here's your new striker and he's going up front. And I just shook his hand and went, all right, mate, I'm stretched. And that was it. We're on the pitch. And, because of the players that I'd had before, he was running down the right-hand side and he cut in to put it in. So I pulled back towards the penalty spot where I always went and he drilled it across the face. I went, what are you doing? And he went, I don't give a fuck, that's where it's going.
Like, no, that is such a spend thing, does that?
Cocky prick.
Yeah, but that's...
And then I tell you what, the amount of goals I got off him for that, because I was just there then, because I knew where the ball was going. So I just made sure I was there. The goals I scored off that guy was just incredible.
He is.
Fucking loads.
Such a good playmaker.
Yeah,
terrible tackler.
So good.
Terrible tackler.
But I don't know, because the ones, right, I mean, his tackling left a little bit to be desired.
No, his tackling was amazing, but like a bus, it was always late.
He was, I remember the once we were struggling in a game, and it was Mikey left back, and he was being terrorised by this guy, and Spenner just kept shouting, go through him, go through him, go through him. And Mikey, you know what Mikey's like.
He's nice.
Such a nice guy, like honestly, he just didn't go into challenges like that. And Spen ran 70 yards, and like you could see the intent in him, like the intent was not to get the ball, put it that way. And he ran 70 yards from across his striker position, all the way across down back to left back, and he went, took to ground to go through this guy, make greatest tackle I've seen on a Sunday League. Brilliant.
I've never ever gone to hurt someone in a challenge ever.
You're a fucking liar, because I've seen it. And Spen just literally stood up and went, that's how you do it, and walked off. And he come back to me and I went, that's not what you meant, was it? He was just like, what are you on about? He went to hurt him, but it turned out it was the greatest tackle I've seen on a Sunday. It was brilliant. But yeah, completely unintentional. But yeah, you've definitely gone out to hurt people. But in your defence, you've also had people that have seriously gone out to injure you and all.
Yeah.
And have done.
Mm-hmm.
I think some prick took a penalty at him once and fucking put him in hospital.
Don't know who that was. Lesson for the kids, don't save a penalty with your bollocks.
Might not have been a game, it might have just been a piss about that we were having at Rowley Park. And I just, and I said to him, like, I'm not a big fan of placing penalties, but I don't want to blast it. And he was like, oh, fuck it, just blast it. Ah, okay then. So I took a few steps back. I gave that everything I got, right? Everything I got. He's on the floor in agony because it hit him square in the balls, and I'm just annoyed because he'd saved it. But yeah, next thing I know, I'm getting a call off him, and I picked up the phone. I'm sat at home watching the telly. I'm like, all right, Tint, it was his mum. I'm like, oh, what are you doing ringing me off Tint's phone? She's like, he's in hospital. I'm like, what's the matter with him? Oh, he's got an issue with his... I went, don't tell me that was a football. Please, please don't tell me that was a football. And she went, yeah, it was something to do with somebody at a penalty. I'm like, oh my God. I can't believe it. So I went to see him in hospital. And I'm like, wasn't me. And he went, yeah, it was. Mate, I'm so sorry. But like I said, I didn't want to blast out him, and he told me to blast
out. Did it go in?
And it didn't go in. I was more annoyed about that at the time than like, yeah. I mean, I should have been like, you're all right, mate. I'm trying to pick him up. No, I was just annoyed because he'd saved it. I'm like, what a prick. I gave that everything. He went, I know. Yeah, that was a bad one, that was me.
Yeah, it was.
That was a bad one.
I still think the worst one I've had was when that lad drop kicked me in the chest.
Hence the reason he scored tin ribs. Because we literally, one of the defenders heard his ribs go ping, ping, ping. When the guy kicked him. But when he got kicked in the chest, he was jumping to catch the ball.
Yeah.
So the ball was above his head and he's jumping. And this guy, I mean, their striker was about 6'4", like he got a bit of height to him. But he literally jumped and booted him in the chest while he's jumping. So it wasn't anywhere near a fair challenge. I think that very nice
stud marks where he chipped my hip bone and broke two ribs.
Yeah, but our defender heard him go ping ping, so tin ribs. That's where that challenge was where he got the nickname from.
It was also when we were running around the field on my first training back, and John goes, shh, shh, lads, listen, his ribs are rattling like tin.
Yeah. And then like, every time you run, dogs used to chase him. Like, they just think he's a bone.
All I'm saying is I got my revenge on him.
John?
No. The lad who kicked me in the chest.
Oh, yeah. I can't even remember who he played for. I know they played in white.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we played in a one-on-one and I went through the back of him and did his knee, so he had to go off for a off. And then they scored the penalty. But I was happy because he went off. And then me and you turned up to their training and I told him if he came in the air, I was going to rip his face off.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I
he wouldn't
that.
Come in the area. So yeah, this striker, who's like their top striker, wouldn't come in the area. He literally stayed outside the area and would only take pot shots from outside the area.
we had some really, really good time.
That's quite funny,
I was Nesbitt in the crown between the two teams for probably 6 or 7 years. Like, so that was there a long time. Really enjoyed it. I've got some absolutely great memories of that. I mean, we weren't a good team. We used to get beaten a lot.
We were awful.
We used to get beaten a lot, but it was one of them where you didn't really dislike anybody. Like, eventually one or two came that I wasn't very keen on, but they never stayed very long. Do you know what I mean? They were there and me and Tin had talked like, oh, I think he's a bit of a prick, or he's a bit of a prick, but they never stayed long. And then they usually went, and we had a couple, like I remember Richie McManus when he joined, very fast, very skillful, very, very good, and you thought, this kid's got a fucking shot. Like, I mean, he could actually do something. I think he'd already gone by that point. He was right towards the end when he joined.
Oh no,
what a player.
Oh, definitely, because I left early.
Lightning quick and so skillful. He was a left winger for us. I don't know where he played, like, or where he wanted to play or whatever, but he was left wing for us. Such a good player, so fast and strong, and he got everything, absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. And I don't know, I think he just gave it up after a while. But then I suppose being at the Nesbitt is going to make you feel worse than you are anyway, because we used to lose a lot. But yeah, it was a good time. I miss them days. Obviously you can't do it when you're 42 now.
I tipped a cross away right near the end of the game. Don't know if you swung a corner in and I tipped it away.
Yeah.
Well, I came down armpit first onto someone's shoulder.
Ooh.
At the time, didn't feel it. Saturday I woke up, so that was the Saturday. So that was a week ago. And my ribs were that sore.
Fucking yeah, ribs.
That I struggled breathing for 2 days. And then since then, I've had a messed up shoulder, because obviously it's overcompensated for everything. And it's only been today where I can actually move my shoulder properly. That is when you know you're too old to keep playing.
Mate, every time I play outfield, one of my calves goes.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't...
But I've been reading up on it, and it reckons if you don't stretch beforehand, which, to be fair, I don't, so I should probably do that. And if you're dehydrated, and I definitely don't drink enough water. So, as I'm getting... It didn't really bother me when I was 20. I was like, I could just... I'd turn up after a fucking, you know...
A bender.
Four loads of tape. I didn't really
you mean like when I turned up after my 21st birthday still pissed and seeing three footballs?
See, right now I feel in the best condition I've felt for the last 10 years.
Oh, which I did.
Even though I'm still big now, but I'm probably 3 stone lighter than I was
ten years ago. This is the ironic thing, right? I'm actually 4 stone heavier than I was But I can run and do more now than then, but then I used to smoke 40 a day.
Yeah.
And I've quit smoking when my son was born, and I don't drink alcohol at all anymore. I feel fitter now, even though I'm fatter, just because I don't do all the crap stuff. I mean, you've always been stick thin, though, haven't you? So you're going to. Fucking hell.
I feel like I could play more football than I do.
I can't, but only because of my legs. If I could somehow work something out... Anybody know? If anybody listens to this that actually knows how I can stop my calves going on me, I'm willing to take any advice just to stop them, because they just go and the pain in them is horrific. I can barely walk.
It's on the probably Saturday. Not playing, but that's not an option for you.
I'm not doing that. I don't mind going for more of a run. I'm not using the treadmill
every day.
I don't mind going for a run.
Yeah. We'll do a run every day.
I'm not using the treadmill.
Do a run every day. Get
for me, I'd sell that bloody treadmill because I don't use it, but Sarah reckons she wants to keep it and use it. And we've had that.
Has she used it yet?
We've had that 6 years. She's probably strung it twice. But she won't let me sell it.
To be fair, your daughter's run on it more than you have as well.
Yeah.
She's four. She's used that loads more than me, because like when I'm in here working out and she knows I'm in here, she'll come in and won't leave me alone. So I end up putting her on there because I can attach her to, you know, the red string.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if she comes back, the emergency pull. So I get her on there and I go, you can't get off now because you've got that on you. So you've just got to be good and you've got... And she'll just stand walking on that for ages. And she doesn't bother her. Like, she quite enjoys it.
Good for her.
Yeah, it's good for her. She'll just stand on that and walk in and we'll have Peppa Pig or whatever on the telly. And she's quite happy and then I can just work out in here and she doesn't bother me. Because I've always said to her, just keep away from the weights because they're dangerous and just stay over there and you'll be fine. Mm. So yeah, she quite enjoys it. But I think we should
call that a day
then today, fellas.
And if anyone made it to the end, well done.
And thank you. Yeah. If anyone listens at all, actually, we really appreciate it, because we just started this as a bit of a laugh and a reason just for us to get together, because we weren't seeing a lot of each other at all. And, you know, I don't know if anyone out there has got mates that they... you know, or they've had or whatever and they don't spend a lot of time with, but like, the only advice I can give you is get in touch with your mates and go out of your way to try and arrange something to spend time with them, because for me personally, like, I left home at 16 and I haven't been back since, and the only thing that's kept me going is the friends I've made along the way. Like, I mean, in particular, sort of like you and Spen have literally, like, Spen on several occasions has saved my life. Like, it's just been absolutely amazing. So it's the best advice I can give to anybody is if you've got anybody out there that you're missing or you think, I should spend a bit more time with that, go and fucking spend the time with them, because there's nothing more important for me than your mates. The family you create rather than the family that you're born into is for me more important. I don't know how you two feel about it, but
definitely
agree.
But if there's anyone out there, just reach out. Even if you reach out to us, we'll always message you. All three of us have got access to the Twitter and the email, and if you look for us on any social media, it's all Sunday League Pundit Show, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We've got a page on Facebook as well now. You can send us messages on all of them. We've got an email address, sundayleaguepundits@outlook.com. Always messages on there as well. We'll always get back to everybody and do as much as we can. Thank you very much for listening. I'm going to call it a day, and we'll be back next Sunday. But
one of us won't.
One of us is going to be a bit of a scumbag next week, aren't we, Jim Cam?
Yeah.
Make your apologies then, because you're...
Sorry.
Sorry.
Marital duties.
Oh, it's just... That's not enough. We'll have to have a load of kids, I think. Jim Jam's not going to be here next week, so you're going to have to put up with me and Tin Ribs. I'm sure we can find something to talk about somewhere along the way.
Probably.
I reckon. So thank you very much, and we shall see you next week.